Welcome back to the Dog Gone Wrong podcast, where myself and others share their mistakes and help you lift the guilt burden. I'm your host, Sarah Roper, the multi-dog maven.
Hello. Long time no speak, and I am very sorry for taking a couple of weeks. Things have been mental. I've been struggling with storage, to be able to record. There's been a whole multitude of reasons. That first week that I missed, I spent on the road with work. And, you know, when you just get to a point where there's, like, just too many things in the way. And I love doing this podcast, but you do get to a point where it's, like, there's more important things in life, unfortunately. And that's no offence to you guys as listeners, because I appreciate every single one of you and every single listen. You know, listening to me drone on, but you... But I've had quite a few nags over the last few weeks. When are we getting another podcast? What's going on? Why aren't you, you know, why isn't there an episode up? And I appreciate every single one. I really do. It's just been, everything's been against me. I mean, I've been competing as well with the dogs. I got bitten by a horse on the back. Lil, our bestie, who's been on the pod before, she ended up coming off yesterday when we went on an endurance ride. She spent 24 hours in a hospital. You know, it's like, it's just been a bit mental. I've had a cold, you know, like, there's just a whole list of things. But here I am. And yeah. So I apologise. And I am back now. And there are a few things that I wanted to talk to you about. Things that have been playing, going around my head that I thought would be worth sharing. So the main one for today is about Mizzle. So she is my youngest Daxie. She is the one that, you know, is homebred. She's the one that has the grade 2 heart murmur, so won't be having puppies. And the challenge dog, you know, my current challenging dog. She has been making... She kind of regressed quite a bit, I have to say. I'm just trying to think when. Not right at the beginning of the year, but probably like Feb, March, April. But to the latter end of May, and well, in May, she's definitely made more progress. We've been back competing with the team, and that helps her. It puts her in challenging environments, but she is around what is now her people's. And then anyone else is an extension of those people's. I mean, one of the people that have actually nagged me about the podcast, that she brought her young daughter, who is only 3, to watch at one of the shows we were at. And it was a rally show, but we were competing with the team. And I don't, like, I was gobsmacked the fact that Mizzle went straight up to the toddler and was being fussed and was quite happy. You know, it was like, is this my dog? I'm not the greatest with kids in general. You know, they're not my bag. So in some respects, I don't particularly expect the dogs to be. You know, obviously, I don't want them like savaging small children. But I don't expect them to be like, ooh, children, because I'm not that way. So, yeah, I was really impressed with that. One of the things that I have done for her during that time is... I have started her back on Skullcap and Valerian tablets, which are by Dorwest Herbs. And it's just a calming supplement, basically. I don't find that it has massive results with any dog, but definitely for, say, adolescents, I tend to advise it quite a bit because it just takes the edge off a bit when they're really excitable and stuff like that. Miz also managed an excellent qualifier in rally on the Bank Holiday Monday in level 3, which, considering that I didn't think she was ready for level 3 and it was a sod it, worry it, we've entered, we'll just go for it and, you know, not expect much. And she beat her mother, who was in the same class, and, you know, Ripple's the out-and-out rally dog, so... Yeah, she's, you know, she's really started to come into her own. However, I have had some realizations about her and her personality that I think have changed the way that I interact with her and in turn helped her behavior. But I will come back to that bit. I wanted to go further back with Mizzle. I know I've spoken about Mizzle before. And I know that I've said, you know, in her first 3-4 months of, you know, the rest of the litter not being there, and it was the first 3-4 months of, you know, with me without her littermates, that her mother Ripple was coming in and out of season, that then made Ripple more barky around things because she was full of hormones, which then obviously Mizzle picked up on, which didn't help with things. And I've said before that, you know, Mizzle had a couple of negative experiences in those first few weeks of kind of being out and about without the litter. And I'm not discounting those things. I've also mentioned before about how I was probably not the most sociable in those formative months with Mizzle, and that definitely rubbed off on her. I also realised that I was emotionally very insecure and wanting reassurance, and I felt very lost at that point. Wanting, because of the, you know, the court case with my ex-husband and stuff like that, I was feeling very insecure about where my life was going and who I was and what I wanted to do. I'd initially obviously left the marriage and gone all guns blazing of, you know, that's me, of just, this is my new life and fuck everyone basically, and I'm going to be me and all of that, and all of that had been great. But then I think it had kind of come to a head as you start to spend more time, you know, of an evening, no one with you, where you start to kind of analyse things and go down a rabbit hole and spiral emotionally and mental health-wise. That definitely had an impact. Another thing which I don't think I've spoke about on the pod before was when Ripple had that litter, it was a litter of 7. It included Mizzle. It included, you know, some amazing puppies, one of which is on our obedience team, another that one of my close friends has got. You know, it's just, they were wonderful. But when they got to about 4 weeks of age, I took them all on a narrowboat trip for a week. I'd kind of got to that point where I just needed a break and would kind of booked this break. And I thought, well, they're within their socialization period now, you know, they'll be with their mother, and they can all live on the narrowboat. You know, they're in an enclosure pretty much whether we're at home or whether we're on a narrowboat, and it'll expose them to lots of different sights and sounds and smells. But there was one of the puppies during that time that I noticed wasn't quite right. He was slower than the others. He was starting to lose weight. He wasn't as coordinated. I mean, no puppy is coordinated at that age, but just not as advanced as the others. And I remember coming back from that break and taking him to see my fave vet, Heidi, and, you know, asking for help, basically. And she did kind of like the reflex tests on him and the knuckle tests and things like that. And it wasn't looking good. We had conversations of, do we put this puppy to sleep? Because he wasn't developing at the same rate. We didn't know whether it was neurological. We didn't know whether it was a liver shunt. There was a lot going on. And, you know, it was a conversation with Heidi. And I said, just give me a few more weeks just to see how he develops. And we treated him for a liver shunt just in case. That made no odds. He did make progress, but he wasn't. We realised that mentally he was totally there and very determined little boy. But physically, he was just, he moved different. He was a little bit wonky. We did the puppy culture puppy parties, and I was quite ashamed that I'd bred something that wasn't right. And there's probably people who are listening to this who knew that litter who weren't aware that I was struggling with this. The people who came to the puppy party, I was very honest and open with. They were all, you know, trainers and, or at least breeders and enthusiasts, and they were all quite encouraging about him. but obviously concerned at the same time, and, you know, and checked in with me a few times about, you know, what the plan was with him. And he made progress, and I had some amazing help from a local friend and trainer and tea touch practitioner. And she kept coming around with like lots of different surfaces for him to explore and go over and build his confidence and make him more aware of his body and things like that. And he made massive improvements. He never made it to being normal. But mentally you could see that he was there and he was willing and he wanted to do it and he had a zest for life. And I obviously kept him back. I wanted to keep him because, you know, I felt this real responsibility that, of course, I've brought this into the world. The only thing that me and Heidi can come up with, that, you know, he was crushed in the womb. Seven is a big litter and Ripple isn't a particularly big dog. So it's not something that is particularly genetic or anything like that. It's just bad luck. I wanted to keep him. And what I found, not that I'd planned to keep two puppies. I was always keeping Mizzle. She was the only girl. But, you know, I felt it was my responsibility that I'd brought this wonky dog into the world. So I should be the one to cope with him and, you know, give him the best life possible. What I found was, after all the other puppies had gone and there was just him and Mizzle, was, you know, I was in a long distance relationship and, you know, traveling 90 miles just one way to go and see my partner every weekend. Or he'd come over and then, you know, like we'd always be traveling. And I found that after every kind of journey, he would have to recover and it would take him a day or two to kind of be back to where he was. He'd just be a bit more lethargic and things like that. And I thought, there's no way I can keep, it's not, you know, with my lifestyle wasn't going to change overnight. I was always going to, I'm always going to be traveling. That is very much me. And that's not fair on, I called him Sorrel. He's now got a different name. Spoiler alert, he's still going. yeah, I called him Sorrel. And yeah, I was stuck. And I held on to so much guilt. I think I had him until he was about 12 to 14 weeks old. And the friend who had come round and helped me was doing like the tea touch stuff with him and things like that. Now, bear in mind as well, on top of all of this, one of my staff had basically come to me and gone, yeah, you've had the litter now. You've had your time. We need you. You know, we need more staff. We need help. We need you on the ground. Which was a fair point. I can't moan at that. So I had to be back out on walks and doing stuff because we were short-staffed. And obviously trying to earn a living doing the training and all of this. So things had gone crazy and trying to juggle having what was, you know, a disabled puppy as well as a young puppy that I'd been waiting for 14 years, Mizzle, who was like speedy as lightning. Like there was... She was too busy for cuddles. At that stage, she would not stop. She would not be cuddled. She would not relax on a sofa with you, like, you know, the cute little puppies that I've mainly had. You know, play with them, train them, take them out for a little jolly, and then they'll sleep. Mizzle was not that. Mizzle was just like, yeah, let's go. I'm too busy. And then she'd be trying to beat up her brother, you know, in a playful way, but you just didn't have the coordination. And there was all that going on. And I spoke to my friend who had come round and done the tea touch stuff. And she said she thought she might know of a home. And I was approaching going to Discover Dogs at this point. I think that's the last Discover Dogs that ever was. Ripple had been invited because she was part of the gold team. And, you know, I'd kind of sorted out a plan for Mizzle. But I just couldn't, like, there was just no other options really for Sorrel. I was a bit like, oh, don't know what to do. And she's, I've got this family in mind. I'm not sure, they'll say they're not ready for another dog at the minute. They've not got a dog at that point. They've always had special dogs. why don't we just ask them to kind of look after him or foster him for a long weekend while you go away? So she knew exactly what she was doing. And obviously I went to meet them and they were absolutely lovely. And, you know, and they still have him. And he has the life of Riley. So on him, basically we went, they said to me, we're falling in love with him. Can we go and see your vet? And I said, yes. So we all went to go and see Heidi. Heidi couldn't believe the difference in him. She was like, he's still not normal, but he's really, you know, made massive progress. And she kind of said, look, I don't think he'll ever be normal, but he, you know, if he's made this much progress in a short period of time, it could definitely make more progress. And they were happy with that. So, and they take him to Hydro, like, once a fortnight. He moves a bit weird, but he's happy, he's healthy, he's strong, he's determined, and he is just, he wants for nothing, that boy. He's actually been back to stay in the last couple of weeks, which I haven't seen him in over a year, and he's just brilliant, and he's just such a little character. It's lovely. But going back to Mizzle, dealing with all that guilt of bringing a puppy into the world that I couldn't take care of. Essentially, that's what it came down to. And as a responsible breeder, that's, of course, what you aspire to do, that you are responsible for each and every life that you bring into this world. And I couldn't give him the right lifestyle. I couldn't give him something that would help him thrive, no matter how many kind of changes to my lifestyle I made. There was just no way around it. I mean, he can travel now. He actually came on the work on the road with me for work the other week. Stayed in travel lodges, stayed in the work van, quite happy. But it's because they've put all that work in and got him as strong as he is now, which I couldn't have done around everything else. So I think partly with Mizzle, me dealing with that turmoil of emotions and being insecure and not being a people person, had a massive impact. Like, there is no surprise that she's not a particularly easy dog at all. Like, she's just a little bit messed up, very much like me. So I think I was telling someone to read Your Dog Is Your Mirror a few weeks ago, and then it kind of dawned on me that I was being an absolute hypocrite. A hypocrite when it comes to multi-dog households, which I'll come on to, but definitely, or at least maybe not hypocritical on this front, maybe more blinded, because when things are too close to you. And I started thinking about my emotional state in that first 6 months of having Mizzle and how insecure I was and how doubting and untrusting. I think that's quite a good... untrusting, I've only just thought of that one while we're on here, which kind of sums her up. The way that she will come and ask, like, she loves a fuss now, she will be fussed all day, but there's like an intense stare from her. And, you know, I try and raise all my dogs as if, you know, that they would be happy being an only dog. They don't rely on the company of others. It's nice to have the company of others, but they don't rely on it. They're not going to stress if one or two of them are missing or if they're on their own. But I think with her, she would be very happy as an only dog. And I think that she seeks to be someone's world, which is what I think where I was. That's very deep and very honest and open. That's where I was at that point. I think I was doubting everything and untrusting of everyone and everything. The world, you know, and just, and I think that's where some of her personality has come from. And so since I've had that kind of awakening, a realization about her, I've started, you know, very minor things, but when she does come up for attention, you know, and I'm able to give it, because that's not always the case, but I make a conscious effort of focusing purely on her and giving her that in undivided attention and being very conscious of that. And that has started to really calm her down. she's still got a way to go, don't get me wrong, but you know, so have I. But just having that awareness, and I think because, you know, I was in a long distance relationship at that point when she was young, all our weekends would be spent trying to obviously spend time together, which then would also include the dogs, because you couldn't just leave the dogs to their own devices all weekend, which then would mean I'm doing all the group outings with all the dogs together, which didn't help Mizzle. And I am, you know, if you've ever read any of my books or you've heard me talk about multi-dog households, when they're young, they should be doing everything as much as possible individually away from the others. And I was a hypocrite, and because I just wanted that escape at the weekends, I wanted to spend time with my partner, I wanted to escape from the world and all my stresses. So Puppy and the other dogs, and you know, basically her mother and her granddad had to come along, which didn't help her, especially as, you know, in those formative months, Ripple was in and out of season and more on the reactive side, I'd say, barking at more things than she usually would. So obviously her daughter's going to learn that. And I'm not going to say I didn't at all, because I did. I did some solo outings with Mizzle during the week, but not enough. And it was a tick box exercise. It was, I've got a puppy, I need to just go out and do this. You know, the energy wasn't there how it should have been. Or I might have met up with my friend who'd got one of the litter and we'd go somewhere together. And that, again, that's not great, because they need to do it individually. And then I think, yes, I did do some, as you know, I moved and life changed, I did start to do some stuff with Mizzle individually again. And then Ada came along. So again, your time gets more and more precious the more dogs you have, and the more, especially young dogs, when you're trying to work them all. And again, it kind of got to the point of, well, at weekends we do things together. And although it did quite a few individual things with Ada, because we weren't keeping her and I wanted to make sure that she was going to be the best assistance dog she possibly could, so we did quite a few things separately with Ada. But then it was, right, we need to get the Daxes out, so the Daxes go out together, so Mizzle wasn't getting that individual time. And then obviously doing the team, which has helped her with people, but it's not, although I'm the only one handling her, and I'm not handling her mum Ripple in Obedience, she is still with her mum. So from those perspective, that hasn't helped. And she's now turning into the frustrated greeter. And yeah, there's work to be done there. But I just wanted to share kind of my journey. You know, this has all come about, all these thoughts have only really come about in the last couple of weeks. And I think in some ways having this break has allowed me to get it a bit straighter in my head. I took a man trailing last week, and she was brilliant. And she'd really took to man trailing from early last year. But of course, it's individual time. It's just me and her. She's less happy now, my other half, and is doing man trailing with Ada, so obviously we go in the same vehicle and things like that. But the more that we are travelling Mizzle separately, i.e. not in the same, you know, we've got a lovely big Lintran boot cage, but travelling Mizzle in a little soft crate on the seat is actually working better. You know, doesn't help with logistics when you want to put other stuff in the car, but so be it. She's better, and there's still some progress to be made when it comes to her barking in the car. She's the only dog I've got that will bark in the car. And a lot of it is that frustration and anticipation when she gets places, when the others just don't, they're quiet as anything. So again, stuff for me to work on. But yeah, it's, I've, a few times people have asked me about my own dogs, as in how many I've got, you know, people that I don't particularly know or I've just met. And I'll say I've got four, and they'll go, oh, and I'm like, this is low numbers for me, really low numbers. But I think as time's gone on, you know, lifestyles change, I'm quite happy with four. I'd be happy with less. I mean, I don't want to get rid of anyone, I'm not saying that, but, you know, I've been up at six, you know, happily for a long time. I was at seven for a short while. Five was a better number for me, but that was in that time, that era, that lifestyle, that where I was at the time. When now I want to do more with the dogs, but it has to be quality time at the same time around everything else. And I think some of it's just an adjustment and ensuring that Mizzle, the little princess, is getting that individual attention to reassure her, because I'm almost treating her as I wanted to be treated at the time, if that makes sense. And I don't know whether this will get you thinking about your own relationships with dogs and what individually they need. I mean, you know, considering I know so much about dogs' behaviour, the science behind it, functional characters, all of that kind of stuff, I've put all of that aside for a minute and just considered what I'm seeing in front of me and knowing how I was when she came along. And sometimes it's about finding that bit of the puzzle. So, yeah, I'm going to leave Mizzle there for a second, and I just want to talk about Edition Dog Live briefly. So Edition Dog Live, I know I've spoke about it before. Jennifer was on a previous episode, the editor of Edition Dog. It's a holistic kind of magazine to do with dogs. I write for it every month, and they have a yearly event at Stoneleigh. And it's on the 6th of July, and it's going to be amazing. Slightly different format this year. I'm going to be on two expert panels. Ooh, scary, scary, but exciting. And I'm going to take Ada with me. So if you are a listener and you are going or would like to go, please, please come and say hi. You know, come and talk to me. I will be on the expert panels, and otherwise I'll be walking around with a black Labrador. So please come and, you know, come and say hi, come and talk to me, and I'd love to see you there. Yeah, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you for your patience. I'm sorry there's been a break, but I hope that this episode has given you something to think about. Take care. Bye. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Dog Gone Wrong podcast. If you could do me a quick favour, like or follow the pod, rate and leave a review, and maybe share with a dog-owning friend. Let's get the word out there and ensure there is less guilt around the mistakes. Thank you again, and we'll be back next week.